queen and I know, oh yes I know. You are my African queen and I know. See I know, see I know what I am feeling in my heart and in my soul. Oh I know that it is love, and I know that this love was surely sent from up above. Cause you're the only one that I think of. You are my African queen and I know that this means that you're the only one that I will serve. I'll give you my heart, my love, my body and my money. Every other thing you think of. In a man, who could think of anything better than you? Who could think of ever hurting you? Sacrifice my all, I'll give it all to you. You are my African queen, for real. You are my African queen. The girl of my dream, the girl of my dream. You may have never been. Oh, na la, yeah. Oh, la, you are my African queen. You are my African queen. The girl of my dream, my African. You remind me of a thing. Oh, that is the African. So black, so beautiful. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Munyemo, I love you, I love you, I love you. Munyemo, I love you, I love you. Oh yeah, my African queen, I love you, I love you.
That's a motorcyclist up ahead. It's slowing down.
Alrighty, you are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org. We are non-commercial, community-powered radio. This is your host, Musana's Musings. You are tuned into I Love You, Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday. Again, I love you, Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday. We are going to tune you in to our theme song, which is going to be Breaking My Heart, in parentheses, Pretty Brown Eyes by the one, the only Mint Condition. Thank you all so much for loving this song just as much as I do. It's just so beautiful to be able to support Minneapolis artists, Minneapolis artists and Minnesota artists, current and past. So without further ado, Pretty Brown Eyes.
Desire, waiting to be unleashed.
Alrighty, this is your host, Masana's Musings. This is I Love You, Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday. Again, I love you, Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday. We are back with another amazing interview. And this week's topic, we will be discussing childhood in the capital, Pig's Eye, St. Paul, the Paul, St. Peasy, St. Paul. St. Paul. I am so excited to have our amazing guest with me. I'm going to have our guest introduce themselves, and then we're going to go from there. Amazing guest. Now's your chance to shine. Straight to the microphone.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, one moment. Amazing guest.
There we go.
Yes,
hello.
We can hear you now.
I'm Patience Zalanga. I'm here with Ash Fasana today. I am a documentary photographer, photojournalist, and an artist, which I guess is all three of those things in some capacity. So, yeah.
Oh, amazing. We love a multi-hyphenate. Y'all are going to hear many multi-hyphenates on this show.
Yes.
Patience, what is your favorite childhood memory about the radio? That involves the radio, includes the radio.
That involves the radio. Oh my gosh. I actually grew up listening a lot to Minnesota Public Radio in the car with my dad. And so a lot of that was, I think, honestly informed my interest in journalism without me necessarily recognizing that when I was younger. But I pay really close attention to radio, and it's honestly pretty cool. And then I had the opportunity and the chance later in, was it 2012 or something like that, to be on the radio with Tom Weber, which was actually kind of a wild experience because he was hosting an event at Neighborhoods Organizing for Change, and I went up to him and I was like, why don't you ever have black photographers? And he was like, well, I'd love to interview
him. Question, by the way,
you know.
Yeah.
And he was like, he actually took it kind of well, and he was like, oh, I would totally love to interview you and have you on the radio. And so he took down my information. I was like, yeah, whatever, he's not gonna follow up. But he did follow up. And I was actually shook. And then when I got there, I was totally nervous because he actually stood by what he said, so what he would do. But yeah. And then, you know, there's also the Christian radio. So my relationship to, but that's on my mom's end. My mom was more of the Christian radio. My dad was more of NPR. So it was an interesting mix, right? Contemporary Christian music plus.
Would you like to share your testimony? We're right. Taking calls.
Exactly. No, absolutely. You know, so there's this guy, something Dawson, that was on contemporary Christian radio, and I would listen to these parents called in about their family issues, and young people. I know it was actually young people that would call in, and it was very, very fascinating. It was very fascinating. I'm gonna have to do a deep dive again of that.
This feels like this. Okay. This wildly feels, it's like chicken noodle soup for the Christian soul.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so in this instance, because I'd never listened to this before, did they get advice from the hosts or from others? Was it a facilitated conversation around the airwaves?
It was. I feel like initially I heard it on one specific Christian radio station. And then I started hearing it on KDWB, but it was less Christian centered. Do you know what I'm talking
about? Yes. Okay.
Am I?
Not War of the Roses, but there were definitely, yes. The callers would call in and be like, I am in crisis. And then other callers would be like, I think you should do.
Yes.
And then we would hopefully hear back from the people in crisis to see if the crisis was solved.
Yeah.
Was the crisis solved in 50% of cases?
Yeah. Yeah.
For the better, questionable, but they were changed for good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on Wicked.
Yes. Yes. So, and then I have like the experience of radio. So I have three like different versions. My mom, which is Christian, you know, contemporary Christian music radio. My dad, who's like NPR, classical music. And then on the bus to school is KDWB B96.
Okay, fun story about B96. I finally met Tony Parker in person. And I remember, like, the first time I think I did was 2016. So I had, like, graduated college. I'd flown home, and it was outside of the XL Energy Center. I know it's changed names, but in my heart, it's the XL Energy Center. I don't know who Grand Casino is. I don't know who they are. So basically, I was outside. There was a concert. I can't remember who I was seeing, but maybe it was J. Cole. Like, maybe it was. Oh, and wow. I came up to his table, and I was like, oh, my goodness. I can't believe I've heard you on the radio. Yeah. And it was just, like, one of those full circle moments where I was like, oh, you're a human being just like me.
Like, you're a real person.
This is wild that you were always in my ear, and like, this is who you are in person.
Yes. I know. Oh my gosh. You know what? You know who was it that retired?
Oh my gosh, Dave Ryan. After 33 years.
Like, oh my gosh, so many children grew up with you on the radio. You know, there are definitely problematic. But it was just like, dang, like, time is moving.
Yes.
And so not to hear him on the radio, like, he was definitely a voice I heard every morning, especially with War of the Roses. That was a wild time. But that was what we would, you know, I'd listen on the radio, and I would be the last person to be picked up, the first person to be left or to be dropped off. And so it was cool. It was a cool ride. Everyone was listening on the bus, though.
Oh, like, heck yeah. Heck yeah. As we were, like, taunting each other, so I was trying to finish our homework, so I was trying not to freak out.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay, do you remember how we first met? That's another question I love to ask my guests. Because I'm realizing that I barely remember. Like, I feel like I remember. There's one story I remember, but I don't think that's when we first met. I think that's just a memory I have of you.
I honestly don't know when we did meet officially, but I do remember going to a graduation at the high school because you went to, right?
I went to St. Paul Academy in summit school.
And so did,
no, did we? We went to a Chosen Family member's graduation.
Oh,
did we?
Okay.
We went to a mutual's graduation.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. 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 Okay.
But I
feel
like from all of our mutuals, I had heard all about you. So I was like, oh, like, this is patience. I was like, oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
The lights went off. I was like, ah.
That is so interesting because.
But it was very much in a just like.
Not being a part of my life. And then being a part, I was like, and then you were there, and it was great. So, you know, but I think it was the graduation.
Okay, that makes sense. I remember my like vivid memory of you socially. I want to say, so it must have been 2012, but I remember in the winter. I think it was a holiday party of some kind. I don't know which holiday we were celebrating, but somehow, somewhere, we were in, like, some recreational center, like, some event center, like, some place that could host events. There was, like, a room hosting events. Someone had made dinner. My family had pulled up mad late, but we were there, and we saw your family and some of our other friends' families.
Oh, wow.
And I just remember seeing you and being like, oh, my gosh, it's been, like, a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild how we've like been in these like shared
spaces.
And then now it's like coming full circle. I think that's the coolest thing ever.
Oh my gosh. I feel like this conversation then is coming full circle because I think so many aspects of our childhood have like come to fruition in such beautiful ways. And now the public worldwide, locally gets to hear about it. And I think St. Paul also gets like its own beautiful redemption arc in this moment.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Absolutely.
Okay. So first and foremost, describe your hometown for listeners who have never been to Minnesota or folks from greater Minnesota who don't spend a ton of time in the Twin Cities. or honestly, folks in Minneapolis who never cross the river.
Oh my gosh.
If we want to really get in
they're,
the weeds.
Oh, they're about to cover. I would describe St. Paul as really quiet. Pretty much after like 9 p.m., things die down pretty significantly. And yeah, it's generally quiet. I think it has a lot of unique character, although I feel like it's changing, or at least my neighborhood is currently changing, especially with the introduction of, you know, the planning and development of hotels, of that, you know, along with what existing structures are in Midway, with Allianz Field and things of that nature. So it's just been interesting, but the St. Paul that I knew was the Rainbow and the underground bowling alley that you could go to, and then right across the street was Little Caesars.
Ooh, baby.
You know,
the McDonald's and the Perkins.
Oh my gosh, that's a historic building. Yes. They should not have gotten rid of that McDonald's. Because it was a lifeline for many people.
Yes.
Not only is it like a place we would go to eat after church and get food, but also for many people who are unhoused, they would go there,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so now that no longer exists. And then, you know, I think what made St. Paul really cool was that my neighborhood was a very mixed income neighborhood.
Ooh.
I'm very diverse. And so I grew up with playing with my neighbors who were Hmong, and we'd eat there and we'd, you know, celebrate, have parties and things. And then the neighbors after, next door to them, were Liberian. And so we would all, you know, play together. And yeah. It was a good time. Rondo Library was also a location that I frequented, that my dad would take me. And I would describe St. Paul as a place that, after living in Minneapolis for several years and kind of relearning St. Paul again, I'm just learning to appreciate just what my childhood was like and how familiar the space still feels, but also grieving what it's becoming. I don't know. Yeah.
Thank you for that. We're going to quickly transition to a music break. When we do these interviews about folks' childhoods, we always ask our guests, and in this case patients, what childhood songs were present in the household. And this first one is going to be Vietnam by the late Jamaican singer Jimmy Cliff, who was instrumental. It was one of quite a few singers who was instrumental in the 60s and 70s in spreading Jamaican music to the world. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to KFAI, Fresh Air Community Radio, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org. Masana's Musings, Vietnam by Jimmy Cliff. Alrighty, everybody, welcome back. This is your host, Musana's Musings. You are listening to I Love You, Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday. I Love You, Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday. And we are here with our guest, Patience Zalanga, multi-hyphenate, born in St. Paul, the Paul, St. Peasy, Pig's Eye, the first... This is the first city on this occupied lane, land, gang gang. Okay. So yes. Before the break, Patience described her hometown of St. Paul and described some of her earliest moments with the radio and really just kind of like gave us the lay of the land of what it was like to grow up in the neighborhood, in like a mixed income neighborhood, in a racially diverse neighborhood, and just really grounded us in what it meant to be a child in St. Paul, in the Midway area. So, and then we also got to listen to one of Patience's childhood songs that was in the household, Vietnam by Jimmy Cliff. May he rest in peace. On the topic of childhood memories, what are some for you, Patience, that felt specifically Minnesotan or unique to St. Paul?
I think living in student housing at the University of Minnesota as a kid. Oh my gosh.
Were y'all on the St. Paul side?
Yes, we were on Como Avenue. Yeah.
Okay, talk about it.
It's like a very different space than like say like the Frogtown or Rondo neighborhood, Midway, all of those spaces, because it's in sort of the St. Anthony Park area. I had a splendid time. That was like probably one of the best experiences of my life to this date, just because I felt so free as a kid, which I don't know that many kids get to feel and experience now than back then. But I mean, I had babysitters from India, Egypt, Sri Lanka, Uganda, you know, Papua New Guinea, like all the kids would just like hang out after school. We'd watch Power Rangers together in someone's home while like, you know, eating popsicles. And I really loved that. What was odd was that when I was about 8, 7 or 8, we moved from the student housing at the University of Minnesota, and we moved to the Frogtown area, which is then when I started going to St. Anthony Park Elementary School.
Okay.
So at the time that I was living at the U of M campus student housing, I was actually going to school at Brimhall Elementary in Roseville.
Oh.
Yeah. And then when we moved further, I went to... Yeah.
But so I just wanted to ask a clarifying question, mm-hmm. just for me and some members of the audience who might be a little confused, because I think I'm a little confused. When you say you lived in the student housing, well, you were obviously not over the age of 18.
No, I wasn't.
And I'm going to make the assumption that you weren't a child genius. I know I wasn't a child genius.
No,
so
I was graduated. Not.
So who in your family then was the student?
My dad was a student.
Okay.
Yeah, my dad was a student, and he was... We came here because my dad actually got a scholarship, I believe, through the MacArthur Foundation to go to school.
Wow, that's
at the University of Minnesota.
That's a huge accomplishment.
And then my dad flew first to America, and then about 2 years later was when my mom and I flew over here, and my mom thought we were going to be staying here for a couple years or so, and it just turned out that we just... stayed.
Okay, well, so, is that not everyone's story in Minnesota? Yeah, let's talk about
much.
It. How many of y'all feel like you've been here longer than you expected?
Yes, I know.
And then
right?
you tried to make the best of it.
And that's just how it goes.
I see all of everyone's proverbial hands raised.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, going from like hanging out with a group of kids from different ethnic backgrounds, racial backgrounds, and just kicking it to, like, attending a school like St. Anthony Park Elementary, even though it was in St. Paul, and even though they were, like, literally a minute away from each other. It's just a walk across the street, basically. I felt like I was in a different worlds, even though they were just feet away from each other. And so I went from like being surrounded by so much diversity to like being in a classroom with being the only Black girl. Yeah, it was weird. So, but I loved my experience. I loved my experience at the U of M student housing campus, campus housing. Yeah.
And remind me, they, like, there was, that campus is also the agricultural campus, right?
So, it is, yeah.
Like, y'all, there's, just gorgeous floral arrangements that y'all were surrounded by, right? Like, beautiful gardens, equal part, like, that y'all just had access to and, like, that decorated the housing, right?
Yeah, I mean, yes, and also the way that the homes or the townhomes, I guess, were arranged was that, like, they were in a sort of oval, right? Ooh. And then in the middle is all this like greenery, you know, that you can, the kids can play, and there's usually a playground in the middle, so everyone had eyes on the playground from every angle. And it was a bunch of it wasn't like a small quarters, it felt like when you were a kid and you were on your skateboard or on your roller skating, felt like you were going to a different town. As a kid, it felt like that. Like, every, like, playground had a different vibe. And we were also next to the state fair. So some of my fondest memories of hanging out with friends is, like, getting together late in the evening and then watching the fireworks from, you know, a bench at the university. Yeah, it was a marvelous time. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I hope if I have children, they have that sort of experience where they can be carefree. But, you know, I think with the culture of safety and surveillance and the way we talk about those things has made it a little bit more complex for parents to feel comfortable with their kids just, like, going out and hanging with neighborhood kids and stuff. So, yeah.
Valid points, valid points. I know that you touched a bit on your school experience changing from going to the school in Roseville to the school in St. Paul. Mm-hmm. But what, to that end about attending school in your youth, what experiences made school exciting for you or memorable for you?
I think for me, it was going to Camp St. Croix and Wolfridge. My family is... they're not campers, right? Like, these were experiences that felt exclusive to, like, going to school. That's not something that my parents would have done. And so I also got to be a part of, like, Girl Scouts. It was just the access that the schools and being in community with other students brought, the new experiences that I might not have had with my own family, that allowed me to appreciate school in different ways. I love learning. I love being in spaces where I can ask questions. And so I think those experiences have been really transformational in terms of just like my exposure to different environments and different places. My mom is like a very anxious person. She was like, you know, don't go and hurt yourself. Like, okay, so I went skiing in sixth grade. They took us skiing.
You're so brave.
Yeah. And they told us not to go on the Black Diamonds at all. But like, you know, there was a group of us that were going down the Black Diamonds.
Oh my.
I did go down one. That was my first time skiing too. It was really cool.
Okay.
But then I went down a bunny hill and I crashed. Yes.
What?
And I think I had a concussion. So my dad, yeah. And I busted my lip too. It was so bad. I don't know how. I just didn't stop when I got to the end of the hill. But it's just so embarrassing because it was like a bunny hill. But they didn't know that before that. I was like with a group of students going down the diamond. The Black Diamond.
And they don't need to know.
And they don't, you know. But yeah, so I got her pretty bad and was supposed to actually get a CT scan. But my dad was so impatient and he was like, we were sitting in the emergency room and he just didn't want to wait. And I was like, oh my gosh. I still wonder if I had like a pretty bad concussion and just, I don't know what the impact of that long term was, but yeah, it was wild. So I stayed home and healed. But my mom, I remember her coming into my room like, I told you.
But this is how we learn. And I feel like your ability to just take risks, to jump into things is part of why I feel like you have the, like, why you have such gorgeous life experiences. And also, I think it's weird as younger millennials to have grown up at a time where we started to take concussions seriously.
Yeah.
Because, like, our doctors are trying to treat us for concussions. Our parents' generation, their parents' generation, were all like, what the heck do we do with this?
Yeah.
But then also what they were taught to do to treat concussions was just stay up.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, we're just stuck in this in-between. Yeah. Whereas now I feel like younger children, like younger generations have like years of study to look on. They have all of our past mistakes to look on. And now we're a little more serious about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if someone hits their head, I'm like, yo, go to the doctor. Like, you don't want some, you know, find out you have like internal bleeding or something like that. Even though you feel fine right now.
Yes.
But yeah, it was pretty funny for everyone involved. But yeah, it's still a memory.
Shout out to schools in the state of Minnesota for having like such immersive, like bonding activities, field trips, ways to learn inside and outside of the classroom year round.
Yeah.
And to be able to experience that with the four seasons is something that not every student in the United States gets to experience, just because of geography, topography, among other things. So yeah, shout out to Minnesota, shout out to the Paul. We're gonna take another break here. We're gonna listen to another one of Patience's childhood songs that were playing in her household. Another one that also played in mine too. This is going to be Jammin' from Bob Marley and the Wailers. May Bob Marley rest in peace as well. Again, this is Masana's Musings. You're listening to I Love You Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. Jammin' by Bob Marley and the Wailers.
Ooh, yeah. Well, all right, we're jamming. I wanna jam it with you. We're jamming. Creation, yeah, we're jamming.
with you. We're jamming. So jam by my side. We're jamming,
jamming, jamming, jamming.
I wanna jam it with you. We're jamming, 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 we're jamming. Hope you like jamming too. We're jamming, we're jamming,
jamming,
we're jamming, we're jamming,
jamming.
My goodness, y'all, I was jamming so bad. Actually, false. Not just me. Patience and I were jamming so bad. We got so into it that we darn near forgot we were on the air.
Yes.
So.
That was a good one.
This is what happens when you are here with me, Musana's Musings, and you are tuned into I Love You Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. Again, I Love You Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. I would also love to let you know that programming on KFAI is made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners like you. We thank you so much for being here. Well, I thank you so much for being here with me on air every single Sunday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. and everyone at the station thanks you all for being here with us 24/7, 365, locally and around the world. All right. So, Patience, we are back. I would just love to... I feel like... I don't know if I'm necessarily taking it to the present day, but I'm just thinking about the fact that you are a multi-hyphenate. I'm thinking about your childhood experiences. I think they were just so vibrant, and it's very clear that you were... just like so insistent on interacting with the world around you and exploring and just reaching out for the next adventure. I think to just like to build your understanding of like what the world could be and how you could establish your place in it.
Yeah.
And I think that does come through in your work as a photographer and as a photojournalist. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering how the art scene in St. Paul, we know that the art scene in Minneapolis also comes together with that, how that influenced your childhood, if at all. And how you feel like that shows up in your life now as an adult.
Yeah, I think it actually is school that was influential for me in terms of the arts. And the reason why I say that was because I grew up in a household specifically with my dad who was not particularly fond of the idea of his children being artists. And so
listeners who have this experience,
yeah,
we're talking to you.
As much art as I interacted with, you know, growing up under my parents' roof, my dad taught at a Christian university. And he taught a Western humanities course. And so one of the things that the students would have to do is they'd have to go to the Minneapolis Institute of Art to look at some of those pieces there. And so he would take us to the Minneapolis Institute of Art. But, you know, we were, like, looking at, like, Western art, you know. And, yeah, we got to, like, linger and go into different areas of the museum, but you know, that was the limitation of what arts could do. But when I was in school, you know, my teachers my favorite teachers were my art teachers and my English teachers. Let's be for real. Like, they're always, they always care more. They always, you know, when my mom was sick, they would check in on me and make sure that I was okay, and were very aware that that was something that I, art was something that I was really passionate about, and loved. But I just remember as a kid, an adult asking me, I was probably in like second grade, an adult asked me like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I was like, I want to be an artist. And my dad just like was so angry at, with that response, which is like such a wild thing as an adult to be upset with a kid about. But that was the moment that I knew that art wasn't something that, that my family would invest in, and that was going to be something that once I left home, that's something that I would pursue more on my own time. And it's no surprise that after I left my family's home, that's when I started having those opportunities to engage with arts and artists here locally, both in St. Paul and Minneapolis. But yeah, outside of that, it was really the school that cultivated my interest in the arts, because outside of that, I really didn't get many opportunities to actually engage in the arts in that way. So I got to be a part of plays. I was the narrator for The Wizard of Oz.
We're out to see the wizard. Yeah.
And that was really cool, which is so funny because we were in sixth grade when we did that, and I was narrator for it. And one of the kids' teachers or kids' parent gave me a card talking about how much of a great narrator I was and how I had a radio voice and if I'd ever considered newscasting. And then she gave me one of her books, Cat on a Hottie's Tin Roof. It was cute. Yeah, she was an author, so it was a really cool present, but it felt like I was seen. It was those moments that I was like, oh, you know. So yeah,
I think even though you didn't describe your interactions with the art scene as like, oh, I went to this one big exhibit, or I went to this like one grand concert, or I saw this local artist and I was like, I've been baptized in the waters of the art, and now I'm like going to do something fantastic in the scene. While funding for me for most things that I think our society cares about is like clearly leaving, going, gone, I think there's something to be said about the investment that we had in previous years and previous decades for the arts in schools. And I think that was definitely present in the Twin Cities. And I think like it's clear that we were able to engage those big activities because of that. I think so many of us had access to being able to play an instrument, to be able to engage in the choir in school, to be able to go on like the school trips, like the choir is going to New York or whatever, or like you can work with a local artist, like a local artist can become like a teaching artist at your school, and you can do these things. Like, it's clear that like in those moments you were seen.
Yeah.
If you weren't able to access art outside on your own time, we were going to bring the artist to you.
Absolutely.
I feel like that is like how the scene is also servicing students.
And I don't even think that I would have had the opportunity to learn how to play violin in elementary school, you know? My parents don't. They didn't care about that. Really? Like, so, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, this is going to be our last question of the interview before we do some shout outs and we get to talk about some upcoming projects in your wonderful life. Absolutely. As a community bearer, as a cultural bearer as well, as a culture bearer as well, how do you believe your work impacts the way children are growing up in St. Paul? Heck, even in Minneapolis.
You know, I feel like the type of work that I do is the kind of work that you don't really see the fruits of your labor until like 20 years from now.
Ooh.
And so you just kind of have to continue doing it with hopes that someone will recognize the significance of it years down the line. I will say, like, I had a student send me their report that they wrote, their English paper that they wrote about one of my photographs. And I was like, wow, you took it upon yourself to, like, write your English paper on a picture that I took. And I just thought that was just, wow. Like, man, like, it just, it warmed my heart and it made me tear up because I was just like, you really don't know who's watching and who you're impacting. And I think you move through this work going through struggles and challenges and also triumphs and joys, but you know, it is really a act of faith to be an artist, because sometimes people don't necessarily understand what you're doing or why you're doing or even the significance of what you're doing until years down the line, where they're like trying to you know, unearth archives or things of that nature. Some of my work is in the Library of Congress, and so my hope is that there's a young person in the future who's, you know, wanting to learn about this time in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, and, you know, uses the Library of Congress as a resource and happens to come across my work and be cited. So my work is photo-based. I think right now I'm moving towards archival, like learning about archival work, mm-hmm. and how to do that work. And I really love it. I really do. Because it allows me to ask questions that I feel like you don't normally get to. I mean, even this conversation, I feel like, is in archival, you know, work in and of itself.
We do. I mean, every episode is archived, yeah. on the website, and all of our special broadcasts, mm-hmm. are archived on SoundCloud.
Yeah. So I'm, like, looking forward to listening to this conversation, like, 10 years from now. And just, yeah.
We are so thankful to listeners like you for keeping us on air and helping us archive these moments for future generations, seven generations forward. Absolutely. Alrighty, y'all. We're going to take a quick break so we can rest our vocal cords. We're going to be right back before we close it out. Musana's Musings, I Love You Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. We're going to be listening to Waterfalls by TLC. This was a song that played in my household.
I know, that's right.
Oh my goodness. You know what? Sometimes the breaks you would like to get don't end up being breaks at all. We are having a buffering issue. So I'm Usana's Musings. I'm back on air with the lovely Patience Zalanga. But that was Waterfalls by TLC. Rest in peace, Left Eye. And good luck to the remaining members for sorting out the logistics of that tour. So with that in mind, Patience, Thank you so much for being our guest on air today. Thank you so much for sharing your childhood experiences, listeners, locally and around the world. We hope that you've gained just like a better understanding of the lives that we have led prior to the crises that may, that like may have introduced you to the Twin Cities, may have introduced you to Greater Minnesota, to the state of Minnesota. And just know that we are like very, like, we have moments that we care about, that we cherish, that we treasure, and we're trying to make sure that the next set, like the next generation of children also get to have those moments as well, despite the changes. With that in mind, Patience, are there any projects you'd like to tell us about? Anything you'd like to plug for the listeners? Where can we find you? How can we support you?
So I've been working on a project lately called Between Today and Tomorrow. And that project is about me interviewing Black mothers across the diaspora here in Minnesota, as well as Black care workers. And it's to, this project came out of seeing the necessity for having the perspectives of Black mothers and Black care workers on the impact of ICE and immigration enforcement here in Minnesota on them and their communities and the work that they are a part of. And so there, it has been such a really interesting and beautiful part to see how each individual shows up for their community, but also just like some of the challenges and making sure that they're also okay mentally, emotionally, and psychologically.